Hello, this is Carl Bastian, also known as the Kidologist, a title that means that I am a student of kids, their world, and how to best minister to them. My laboratory is kidology.org, and this is Kidmen Talk, the show where I seek to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. You can help shape the show by interacting via Twitter at Kidmen Talk, by interacting with each show in the forum, which is linked at the bottom of each podcast show notes, or simply by emailing me personally to carl@kidmentalk.com. Well, today's show is sponsored by Pastor Brian Dollar's incredibly entertaining and insightful new book, I Blew It. And he is going to be joining me on the podcast today, so you're in for a real treat as both Brian and I talk Kidmen. Well, this is going to be an exciting show. Brian Dollar has been a longtime friend of mine. He's a fantastic guy. And when he came out with this book, I was just so excited about it. Rather than just talk about it, I wanted to get him on the show. So with no more further ado, let me just go ahead and call him up and get him on the program here. And let's talk about I Blew It. So hopefully we will be able to catch him here. Turn this volume all the way up. And get Brian on the show.
Hello?
Hey, Brian, how are you doing there?
Doing good. How are you, Carl?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you so much for taking time out of your high-voltage laboratory there to join us here on Kidmen Talk.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it. Glad I could be a part of it.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, I am just so excited about your book that rather than just talk about it and tell folks how much I loved it, I just thought it would be so much better to actually have you on the show and hear a little bit about it straight from the horse's mouth. Well, I guess I shouldn't be calling you a horse.
Yeah, watch it.
But anyway, you have been a longtime friend of mine and a friend of Kidology. In fact, this isn't your first podcast. I didn't have you on the podcast before, but back when Gus and I hosted the show, he got booted off the show. He did some feedback and, hey, what are you talking about? All right, Gus, back in the bag. But you're one of our vendors. And before we get into the book, you're a children's pastor, right? Tell us a little bit about who you are and your ministry and this high voltage curriculum that you create. This is not the first thing that you have created to equip and encourage children's pastors. And just briefly introduce yourself to our listeners, because you're someone that if they haven't heard who Brian Dollar is, they need to know who you are, because you create such fantastic resources for children's pastors.
Man, thanks so much. I have been in children's ministry full-time. This year, actually, will mark 20 years since I started, which is crazy because I still look so young.
Yeah.
I started 20 years ago, and I've been in two churches, one in Dallas, Texas, and then I've actually been here at First Assembly of God in North Little Rock, Arkansas. I've been here for 12 and a half years. And, just really found myself, about 7-8 years ago at a point where we were writing and creating our own curriculum here at the church. And really, I actually write a whole chapter in the book about my pastor really pushing me to try to get the materials out there for other people to use. And, of course, I was completely against it and said, nah, nobody will use this. Only the big churches do that. We're not Willow Creek, we're not Saddleback. We're just First Assembly in North Little Rock. Who cares about what we're doing? Well, I really, that was more of a smokescreen because the fact is I was just scared,
Sure.
Would it really work? Would anybody care? I didn't want to put something out there and then it fall flat. Nobody likes to fail. And so I put it off and put it off. Ultimately, God really got a hold of me one day. And, of course, like I said, I've got a whole chapter about it. And I really moved past my fears and got it out there, and now, long story short, we're in over 5,000 churches around the world, really. We've got churches in Canada and South Africa and New Zealand and all kinds of places that are using our stuff, and it's been a blessing. We write and produce videos and drama scripts and object lessons and illustrated sermons and graphics and whatnot, and really try to take what God's doing here and try to help a lot of our mid-sized churches and smaller churches look like superstars. That's our goal. My heart is for the small to mid-church pastor and really trying to help them be able to reach their kids the best that they possibly can.
You know, that's really how Kidology started. You know, when I, you know, you don't have to be a superstar. One of my favorite quotes that Henry Zonio said years ago is that you don't have to be a mega church to be a mega children's pastor through Kidology, because, you know, I would spend hours and hours creating a lesson that I then really could only do once because I'd have to wait 4 or 5 years to do it again. And and because they'd, you know, I'd already done it. And so I thought, well, man, I put all this sweat and blood and tears and love into this lesson. It sure would be nice if someone else could use it. And so that was part of why I started Kidology, was just to share it and to create a place where others could share it as well.
Right.
And those who submit stuff, when they put their name and email, and their email's protected, if people put their email in, people can email them a thank you or feedback. It doesn't actually give away their email. It just enables them to email them through a form. You know, people have told me, man, when they get thank you notes from around the world for a post or a lesson they submitted, you know, it just makes their day. And I used to call it a tithe of my ministry time. I used to really, way back in the day, just take a tithe of my ministry time to submit these things that I had created and just to put them out there. And I'm still embarrassed. I mean, I've gotten curriculum published and I have polished things that I've done. But if you go into Kidology and you go into that kids church lesson zone, there's still stuff that I'm embarrassed about, that it's just my raw children's church lessons that still say, you know, the names of the kids church crew and stuff. They're just my raw lessons that I just threw up week to week that I still someday like want to go back in and clean up, and I just haven't got around to it. And they're still in there in their raw form. I mean, there's raw lessons from Ryan Frank back in the day when I talked Ryan into just submitting his lessons to the kids church lesson zone that he's got in there as well, just buried in there, you know. And that's, I just challenge people listening to this. If you've got lessons you've poured your heart and your love in and hard work and you're like, you know, this is good stuff, but once I teach it, I can't really teach it again for a while. Just hit that button at the top of Kidology where it says submit an idea and just submit that lesson. And our staff will clean it up and make it pretty and worry about what zone it goes in. All you have to do is submit it. And we don't steal rights. We don't have a thing that says, you know, we own the rights to it. If you ever want to publish it, it's still yours. We're just sharing it. That's all we do. We don't steal intellectual rights from anybody. So it's awesome that you do that. And your stuff really is great quality. And I commend you, Brian, for doing that. And no one will get shocked. Even though it says high voltage, they'll only be shocked by the quality and the low price. The fact that it's such good quality and such a low price. So,
yeah, we really try to keep the cost down, and certainly I want to make sure they get big budget ministry, but on a small budget scale as far as cost goes. So
yeah, well,
that really helps.
Well, you're definitely accomplishing that, and you've definitely learned a lot over the years. And as things have gotten refined, you've gotten better at doing it, and so I commend you for that. And I love your name. I was going to share that story. Every time I'd see you, Brian, you know, at CPC or somewhere, I'd come up and offer you a dollar and pick on you. And then you taught me a lesson one day. I came up holding out that dollar, and you used to just kind of roll your eyes and be gracious at my terrible sense of humor. And then that one CPC was that 3 years ago. You just grabbed that dollar and put it in your pocket. And I haven't done that since.
That's right. If you're going to offer me a dollar, I'm going to take it. So I figured that was the easiest way to shut that joke down.
Yeah, I thought, well, this could be an expensive joke over time. So I quit doing that joke. But anyway, and then this year, you beat me to a great idea. You know, a lot of people misunderstand, you know, this title, Kidologist. In fact, I opened the podcast today defining what Kidologist is again, because a lot of people think that I give myself that title because I think I'm the in-all, end-all expert on children's ministry, and that's a gross misunderstanding. That title really just means that I'm a student of kids in their world, and I actually challenge anyone to be a kidologist. It just means minister within the culture of kids, never stop learning about kids and studying kids, because you never finish learning about kids in their world, because it's constantly changing. And when I was young, I saw older children's workers who were out of touch. And when I was young, it was easy to be in touch. because I started children's ministry young, like you did, Brian, and it was easy to be in touch because I just liked the same stuff kids liked. And I had this fear that when I got older, I would still be doing the same things I did then, and that I would become one of those out-of-touch old guys. And so I gave myself that name and started Kidology as a way to tell myself, Carl, you can never get lazy with your techniques. You can't still be doing the stuff in 20 years that you're doing now. Just because it works, you know, in the 80s, it's not going to be working in 2012. So anyway, I didn't want to come out with an expert book because everyone expects, you know, the kidologist to come out with this expert book. And so I thought, you know, if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to surprise everyone and I'm going to come out with a book of everything the kidologist did wrong. And it's going to be just filled with what a screw up I am. And because no one would expect that from me. And then you sent me the advanced PDF copy, which was very gracious of you. And I'm like, he stole my idea. But it also made me feel good to know that I'm not the only person who's learned through disastrous mistakes. And so you just nailed it because people do look to people like us and Jim Weidman and Ryan Frank and other, you know, great kids pastors or those that have some notoriety. And they think we know everything. Hopefully we know some things after 20 years, but they don't, I mean, we should, but they don't realize sometimes that we learned it all the hard way. And like Ryan's book about what the things they don't teach you in Bible college, they don't teach you those things in Bible college. So why don't you share with us, you know, some of those, maybe pick one of the funny ones that stands out in your book or in your mind, or maybe one that didn't make the book or whatever. What's one of those funny stories that you can laugh about now that maybe wasn't so funny then?
Right. You know, the book is filled with those type of stories. And, you know, what you were just saying, I just want to kind of dovetail off of that before I tell a story. And just the fact is so many people look at what they would consider successful children's ministry leaders and children's pastors, and they assume, well, those guys either got all the breaks or they never screwed up or got in trouble like I have, you know. And they see the pinnacle of where somebody is, and they don't see the journey of how they got there. And the truth is, all of us got to where we are, whatever that is. But, you know, the place that we are, we got there through the same school of hard knocks that everybody else is going through currently. And so, yeah, I've definitely made my share of major blunders. One of the biggest ones, and I guess the story that I love to tell is the story of when I was early in children's ministry. You know, you gotta really be creative, you know, in children's ministry. If you're gonna catch the attention and capture the attention of a ADD first grader, man, you better really come at it and really be creative. So I thought, you know, I'm gonna just really blow the kids out of the water with my creativity. And we were doing a VBS on the life of Moses. And I was thinking, you know, what is something that I could do to really get these kids in an experience?
You know? Oh, I read this one.
And the life of Moses. So I came up with this idea of the plagues tour. What I thought I would do is take the kids through all these different Sunday school rooms that we had kind of decked out, and they would experience firsthand what it was like to be an Egyptian and experience those plagues. So, you know, I thought this was a great idea. I wanted to kind of go with the first group so I could experience it with them. And, you know, I'm glad I did because we walked in the first room, and you know, the kids were really amazed. They watched the illusion that we did of, you know, water turning to blood. Well, you know, they didn't know that we had put red food coloring at the bottom of that pitcher, you know, and so whenever we poured the clear water and then we turned it into red water, and woo, they were just so amazed. Well, that was great. Then we went into the second room, and that was the plague of frogs. And, you know, we had purchased hundreds of these tiny plastic frogs from Oriental Trading Company, which is a children's pastor's best friend.
Yeah.
5 million little plastic frogs for like a nickel. It was great. And we placed those all over the room and had a CD of sound effects of frogs croaking, and the kids loved it. They were like, oh, man, that's awesome, frogs. And we did about the same thing with the next two rooms. We had flies and gnats, and, you know, everything was going great. And then the kids walked into the next room and were a little disgusted when they saw the fake dead cow that we had laying in the symbolized the plague of dead livestock. You know, and of course, I didn't get my my hint there. We went into the next room, which was the plague of boils. And I got to tell you, I thought the leaders had done a great job with the theatrical makeup because those boils looked very realistic. Apparently, they were a little too realistic because the kindergartners were terrified and just freaking out. And things were really, really going bad in the next room. You know, I had made the mistake of putting some junior high boys in charge of the plague of hail.
Oh, no.
Now, what I had told them to do was to get on the top of ladders in the corners of the room, and I had given them several big bags of
golf balls.
No, ping pong balls. Oh, Lord, it would have been terrible if it was golf balls. But I told them, hey, just lightly toss the ping pong balls down on the children to simulate hail. Now, is that what they did? You remember I said junior high boys. Of course not. They saw this as their opportunity to be snipers, and they were just throwing these ping pong balls and hitting the kids in the face. I mean, one girl got hit in the eye. She started bawling. The rest of the kids screamed and ran out of the room. I mean, it took me about a minute to actually get the boys to stop throwing the ping pong balls. But by that time, you know, the kids were freaking out and they're crying. So I thought, we got to move on. Well, the situation didn't exactly improve through the next two rooms, which were the plague of locusts and the plague of darkness. You know, I don't know if you realize this, Carl, but actually, there's a lot of kids that are afraid of the dark. Go figure. I hadn't really thought about that ahead of time. But really, the end was really when it came to really a big disaster. We walked into the plague of the firstborn.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had one of my female leaders dressed in full Egyptian garb with a little baby doll on her lap.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, the kids were already freaking out because of the ping pong balls. And then they walk in and see this girl in the corner of the room screaming at the top of their lungs, "A baby's dead! A baby's dead!" Oh, they turned around and ran out. They did not stop crying for 20 minutes. I just shut the whole thing down. I canceled all the rest of the tours. And we went down to the for some snacks because, you know, the old saying,
"My baby's dead."
Kool-Aid covers a multitude of sins. So,
you draft your resignation letter.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you, the next few days were crazy busy because I had meetings and phone calls from parents.
Oh, man.
Some were curious, and some of them were just flat out angry, wondering what in the world was going through your mind when you came up with this idea. So the lesson I learned, though, is really to not lean on my own clever ways and thinking that every quote-unquote good idea is a God idea. You know, we try to be creative, and I was certainly doing that, and I had good intentions, but I spent zero time in prayer, and not one time did I ask God or anyone else, "Do you think this is a good idea?" I just was so enamored with my own creativity that I just had to make a name for myself, and boy, I did that. Not in the way that I wanted, but I certainly did that. So that's certainly one that stands out as a all-time disaster moment for me in ministry.
Oh, man, one of my creative ones. And, I was a Mountain Dew-aholic early in my early years of ministry. You know, I've gotten off the Mountain Dew now. But, man, I saved Mountain Dew cans for months. And then I decided we had these sack lunch Sundays. And the parents loved it. If you want to really have parents love you, once a month, a Sunday afternoon, I kept all the kids and gave parents a Sunday afternoon without their kids. And you talk about parent points. And then we would have a theme. We'd do Western. We'd do spy. We would do cowboy, you know, whatever. And it would have a very light spiritual application. It was basically a child care, bless the parents Sunday afternoon, all ages except nursery. And it was basically games and a couple object lessons, but mostly relational ministry. And for one of these sack lunch Sundays, I decided to have a marshmallow tin can war. And the kids got 15 minutes to build their forts, stacking these Mountain Dew cans into high towers, and they were strategic, and they built all these walls out of Mountain Dew cans in the fellowship hall, and then I passed out bags of giant marshmallows, the big old white marshmallows, and then they just could have a war. You're throwing the marshmallows and knocking down the walls on the other side. However, our fellowship hall was carpeted with red carpet, and the kids are running around. Never occurred to me that kids stepping on marshmallows were going to grind it into the carpet. And, oh, man, my senior pastor, and he's a good guy, but he was so livid at me. And he, instead of calling in a carpet cleaning company, he made me personally on hands and knees clean up every, you know, carpet mess, you know, every little marshmallow out of that carpet, picking it.
How long did that take you?
Oh, the whole next week. I was on my hands and knees, you know, in confession, picking marshmallow and using chemicals and everything and cleaning that out. And then I did one where the kids were running around the room, digging for spiritual treasure, running around and digging in a tote full of packing peanuts, digging for treasure. And then, but at the end, when the kids all left Children's Church, because they would dig in this tote and then have to run around the room, packing peanuts were everywhere, and it tracked peanuts, because they stick to kids' legs, it tracked packing peanuts throughout the entire church. And that one didn't go over. And that pastor was much more gracious with me. But, you know, you got to think these things through, you know, and the ramifications of them and the facility impact. And, yeah, you think you're just so creative and making up these games. And neither of those games are on Kidology, by the way. So otherwise I'd be getting hate emails, you know. But, yeah, a lot of times our creativity, we don't take that extra step to think it through. Either the impact on the kids or the impact on the facilities. But at least I never had the smoke alarm go off like my youth pastor did and had the fire department show up on Sunday for some of his antics. So,
I did the same thing, and that didn't make the book, but it certainly was a memorable Saturday night.
Yeah.
When I set off the alarm, I was doing a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego illustration, and let's just say I didn't realize it wouldn't make quite that much smoke.
Well, there, that's a podcast exclusive. It didn't make the book. You had the fire department come out.
There's a lot of big mistakes that didn't make the book. Now, one that did more than just scar kids, if you can imagine. All right, I'm just going to ask you, what's the number one biggest weekend in the life of a church as far as attendance and outreach and people showing up? What's the number one weekend that you always gear up for?
Oh, boy. Easter?
There you go. Try being the lead character in the Easter program.
Oh, no.
And I am dressed in full, Israeli garb, biblical costume. And, you know, my whole deal is I was the narrator that basically was part of the multitudes that followed Jesus. And but periodically, when it was a big moment, I would walk out and I would kind of piece together everything that had happened, and I would talk to the crowd. You know, we have 5,000 plus people that will, view our Easter production. Now, we haven't done one in years, but Passion of the Christ kind of ruined it for all Easter productions. Just about anything after that is like, well, yours is just ridiculous. But back then, this was back in 2003, I was the narrator. Well, it was the fourth production. I was getting a little, bored backstage, and it wasn't my time to be on because, it was kind of at a very important part of the production, which was the crucifixion of Jesus. And so I'm back there. And
it's kind of important.
Well, I decided that I'm going to try to be funny. So I found this Keystone Cop hat in the drama prop room, and I walked into the media room with that on my head and was trying to make our two youth pastors laugh, and I did, they were like, oh, that's funny. But then I started looking at the monitor, and watching everything that was happening on the stage, and suddenly I realized, okay, that was the line that's supposed to be right before I go on. So I knew it was my turn to go out there. They were actually in the middle of putting Jesus into the tomb. My lines were, Joseph of Arimathea placed the body of Jesus in Joseph's own tomb. I mean, I still remember it.
Did you forget you had the hat on?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm in the middle of the stage, and I'm talking, and I'm doing well. I mean, this is the fourth production, and so I've got my lines down, but I noticed that the drummer, the orchestra that's right in front of the stage, well, the drummer's looking at me with this look, like, what is going on? And I'm like, dude, I got my lines down. What are you worried about? And I kept going, and I'm delivering it, and I noticed several other people were looking at me real strange. Suddenly, it hit me. I look up at the screen on the wall, because we're videoing, and I look up, and there it is. imagine my horror when I see that, and I realize that right down on the front row is my senior pastor. He is sitting there, and I can't bear to look at him. But I think that, you know, luckily I made it through. I didn't draw attention to it. I just kept going. I thought, well, if they haven't noticed, then maybe they won't. Well, I'm walking down this long wooden plank that I have to exit the stage. Well, wouldn't you know, it goes right in front of my senior pastor. And I had to tell him, out of the side of my mouth, I went, it was an accident, I promise. You know, long story short, he and I talked about it later, and, you know, it was an accident, but the fact was my mind wasn't where it needed to be, and I wasn't taking, you know, my role seriously, and I was trying to use my gift of humor and being funny that, you know, it was a winner in front of the kids, but because I didn't use it at the right time and in the right way, it ended up sinking me, and, you know, it really cost me a lot of leadership points here at the church. And,
yeah.
You know, in the book, I talk about it, and the big mistake that I made there and the lesson I learned is that sometimes your greatest strength can actually, you know, become your greatest liability.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, use it. And it's not just humor. I mean, you know, somebody who's a driven person, you know, can work so hard chasing vision that they don't even care about the people that are involved. They just use people as, you know,
resources
to an end. You know,
yeah.
Somebody who's really relational might, you know, love people, but then they don't get any work done. So that, you know, pulls them off of their big picture kingdom goals. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that we have that are great strengths that end up coming back to haunt us or bite us if we don't use those with wisdom and love and really be smart about it and allow the Lord to use it.
So yeah, don't rein them in and realize this isn't the time or place for that.
Exactly. You know? Well, you know, and also just leaning so much on our strengths and realizing that every strength has a dark side, you know, and you gotta make sure that strength doesn't take you somewhere that God's not wanting you to go. Use it for what God gave it to you and keep it tempered with his character and discipline.
Yeah, mine was a Sunday morning. I was running around. It was during the we have a service, Sunday school, and then service. And during the first service, you know, I'm running around doing all kinds of last minute details, trying to pull stuff together. Should have been more prepared than I was. And a Sunday school teacher comes to me. Her name was Rose. She said she stops me. Now, anytime a volunteer comes to me, I try to give them my full attention, try to shut down, not even let them know how busy and stressed I am, and just give them my focused attention. And she says, you know, hey, I'm going to be teaching on baptism during the Sunday school hour, and I'd like to take the kids on a tour of the baptism area. You know, would that be okay? And I was like, well, absolutely. You know, I would love when teachers get out of the classroom, but I said, you know, they've been doing some work back there. Why don't we go take a look at it and just make sure that it's safe for the kids? We had just finished the remodeling of the sanctuary, and it just reopened. So we go through the side door, and we kind of go through this back hallway and around, and sure enough, it was open, but there were still some boards over the baptistry, so the kids couldn't actually go up the stairs and down the stairs into the where the water would be. There were some boards, but I like kids to experience stuff, so I said, well, unfortunately, they can't go in, but maybe they can at least walk out on the boards, but let me make sure it's sturdy and safe for the kids, completely forgetting there's a service going on. So I walk out on these boards. And Rose tried to stop me, but I didn't see her. And of course, she didn't want to yell out because the voice would travel out into the sanctuary. So I walked straight out on these boards, and the boards weren't visible to the congregation. So it looked like I was walking on water. I walk out on these boards, you know, my side to the whole congregation, and I start bouncing on the boards because I'm testing how sturdy they are. And then it wasn't until I turned to turn around that I'm now facing the entire congregation. Now, fortunately, first service is not a packed house, but it's still a whole congregation. Now, we had a guest speaker, so my senior pastor's sitting in that front row, just like yours, and I go eyeball to eyeball with him, and he's just giving me this incredulous look, like, what are you doing, you know? And it felt like an eternity that I stood there. It was probably a 0.25 of a second. I mean, when I realized what I had done, it was like, shoom, I was out of there, you know? And I sat on the steps.
Your life, I'm sure.
Yeah, I sat on those steps going, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. And Rose is like, well, I was trying to call you out to you, but I didn't want to yell, you know. Well, it turns out later, and then some people, you know, a lot of people were probably looking down at their Bibles, but those that looked up, you know, laughed. So the speaker was trying to figure out why people laughed. Well, it turns out later he was a missionary from closed countries, and he was just saying up something about terrorists can be anywhere, and you never know where they're going to appear. And then I appeared behind him, and then people were laughing at me. And he didn't think what he was saying was very funny at all.
Yeah,
and
what are people laughing about terrorism?
I went back to the pastor right after church. I got down on my knees, and I'm like, I am so sorry, you know. So I got razzed about that for a long time. You know, every time in staff meeting, they just happen to bring out, anytime we're discussing a policy, well, how about pastors not walk out on the baptistry, you know, during services, you know. He was such, my pastor was such a gracious pastor, but he didn't give me too much grief over that. I just felt like an idiot, you know what I mean? And I said to my pastor, well, there was two choices. I could either walk out in the baptistry, or Rose could have yelled out from behind the stage, no, Carl, no, stop, Carl, stop. And he said, no, that would have been worse. You know,
yeah, definitely.
So, but anyway, but reflecting on that later, I was like, if I had been not so distracted and I had been more prepared and I probably should have been in the first service worshiping. Yeah, but if you're not prepared and you've got too many things on your mind, then you're not able to be thinking about things, and it probably would not have happened. But because I was so scatterbrained and unprepared that morning, I was trying to focus on her, but I really wasn't. And so I didn't have the bandwidth to really focus on the situation and ended up making a really embarrassing mistake. So, yeah, you learn from those things, man. Whew.
Yeah, big time.
So, oh, well, it's a fantastic book. I love the transparency. I love the honesty. But I love that it's not just funny stories, but you extract from those stories. You really reflect on them. You know, what was the lesson you learned from that? Because we all make mistakes. I mean, that's a given. None of us are perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But we have to learn from our mistakes, you know. In all of these Kidman podcasts, you know, we have a Kidman key letter, and our letter for today is the letter L. I think laughter is what our L could stand for. We have to be able to laugh at ourselves, and the next L would be learn. We have to learn from our mistakes, you know. It's not stupid to make a mistake. We all make mistakes, but stupidity, I've heard it said, stupidity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So, you know, we have to learn from our mistakes. You know, when my staff make mistakes, when I make mistakes, I never get upset. But what we do is we look and say, okay, what made this happen? And what do we need to change, whether it's a policy or a pattern, so that we just don't do it again? Because that's where the danger and the mistake is. If we don't learn from it, then we're destined to do the same thing again, and it becomes a pattern. It's like in parenting. If a child does something wrong once, you say, hey, you're not supposed to do that. We don't do that in this home, or we don't do that in this classroom. Then they do it again. You can say, you can chalk it off as a coincidence and say, I talk about this in my discipline workshop. Hey, we talked about this. You did it again. We can call this a coincidence, but hey, we don't do that. But when it happens a third time, it's a pattern. That's what we don't want. We don't want a pattern of mistakes. You know, I didn't, if I walked out on that balcony three times, you know, you know, that would be a problem. You know, if you're terrorizing children with your creativity, you know, that's when the pastor would have said, okay, Brian, we have a pattern of you terrorizing children with your creativity. You know, you know, if you're putting hot candies in the Easter eggs 3 years in a row, that's one of the great stories in your book. You know, then the parents start to say, this is the third year that Ryan's put, you know, those, I forget what they're called. What was the candy you put in the eggs?
The atomic fireball.
Yeah. Yeah,
if it's hot, they're a choking hazard for the preschool.
Yeah, so if you're putting atomic firebombs in the preschool's eggs every year for 3 years, you know, you're not learning, you know. And so the key is put the atomic firebombs in there for the preschoolers on the rocks, on the steep, rocky hill. I love that story in your book. You know, once with bloody knees and preschoolers scrambling on the rocks, that's a great story. One time, okay? but let's learn from that, you know? And so we all, you know, we all need to learn from those lessons. And as long as we learn from them, you know, God's more concerned with our direction than where we are. And if we're moving in the right direction, And we all, we, the reality is we all could write a book called I Blew It, except for Jesus.
True.
And so it's a fantastic book. I really hope that many people will buy it. How many kids you have?
Personally, I've got two kids.
All right, you got two kids. This guy's got kids, people, so buy his book. And a portion of every sale of this book goes to feed his two children. But so support Brian, but it will bless you, and you'll learn from it. And then but then do the same for yourself. You know, don't just be embarrassed by your mistakes, but then take that extra time to reflect on your mistake. Look at the principle behind it. You know, just like with that hat. You know, I love that you reflected on, you know, not just what a stupid thing you did, but man, it was an inappropriate time to tap into your gift of humor, and you really should have just been focused on the play. You know, that takes humility, and that takes some objectivity. And it's not that your humor is bad; it's a gift. But it was the willingness to say, you know, that wasn't the time to tap into that gift. A lot of people can't do that, and then that handicaps them for life. And when we're able to be objective about our gifts, but when we're misusing them or just at the inappropriate time, it makes all the difference in the world.
And, well, there are those funny, you know, stories that'll make people laugh. But the one thing that I wanted to make sure that I did is, I think transparency is a huge part of integrity and character. And I don't think we have enough transparency in the church, and certainly in church leadership. There's so many who you know, they're worried about how they look, or they want to put their best foot forward, or they're always, you know, trying to polish their image. And my goal in this book was to definitely pull back the curtain and show that, hey, not everything we look at and think is all great and polished and wonderful has always been that way. And not only that, but I wanted to be able to look at the hard issues of ministry, you know, and I talk a big portion of this is about the hard issues, such as, you know, being cut off as children's ministry leaders. We're a lot of times cut off from the big picture of the church, and we kind of get tunnel vision on our own thing. I talk about that. I talk about, you know, the relationship with your senior or your lead pastor. And, you know, a lot of times we just leave that as their responsibility. They're supposed to develop a healthy relationship with me, not vice versa. We kind of ignore our responsibility in that. I talk about procrastination and self-reliance, and just really, I hit a lot of the big areas that if it weren't for God's grace, would have really sunk me in children's ministry. And towards the end of the book, I actually share, and I don't want to give away too much, but
yeah,
I share a deep, hurtful story about how I actually, there was a period of time where I pulled out of front ministry, and because my heart wasn't right, you know, and I knew that God had to do some deep, deep work and surgery in my life. And the fact is what got me there is not unlike the story of many who are involved in ministry and relying on self and getting too busy to pray and neglecting my spiritual health really almost cost me my life and my family and my ministry. And so those are areas that I talk about in the book, and learning from those mistakes and asking the right questions after you've blown it, that's really the key. And I really try to get real practical in the book as far as that goes.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate your heart. Appreciate that transparency. You know, it's a great book. I don't jump on every book that comes out, but this is one that I think has a real value. People definitely should get it. I enjoyed it, and it's one that I would actually reread. Thank you for the investment of time that you put into it. I think longevity is important in ministry. You know, the average time that people stay in ministry is very short. I think they say 3 to 5 years, and it's because ministry's tough. People go into it for a lot of different reasons, and we forget that ultimately God isn't about building ministries. He's about building people. And sometimes we forget that, you know, we're trying to build a ministry, and God's about building you. He's about building me. And we forget he's about building the minister, not building the minister's church. And so you're proof that he's done that, and he's still doing it. I've definitely had those high and low times and tried to be transparent on my blog and on Kidology, but I'm still a work in progress. That's what Yosemite Summit's all about. It's about taking a handful of guys to Yosemite every year, and I fire them. And they're not even allowed to talk about their ministry or even pray about their ministry. We just focus on our walks with God and our wives and our kids for a week, because we forget that. We get wrapped up in our ministry. and we need to be focused on our walk with God. So, well, I appreciate your time, and I look forward to getting to know you even better, Brian, in the years ahead. And I hope others will continue to follow you and use your resources and continue to watch you as you walk with God and continue to serve and reach kids. Kidology's mission is equipping and encouraging children's workers, and we definitely have a kindred spirit because I know that's your passion as well.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your time, and you have a fantastic week.
Hey, absolutely, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, we'll keep in touch.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's Brian Dollar, and he is a great guy. Please do encourage him by getting a copy of his book. It's available here in the Kidology store. And check out his resources, the High Voltage Kids resources. We've got a bunch available in his store. You can also go to his website, and it is highvoltage-kids.com. Well, thanks for listening to Kidmen Talk. If you have a funny story of a way you blew it, share it in the forum linked at the bottom of the show notes. You know, Brian wants to give two books away, so we'll choose two people at random who tell us a story in the forum. Also, start making your guesses on the Kidmen keyword for the letter W. Well, until next time, this is Carl, and I'll see you on Kidology.org.